up, everybody? Dr. Joe Camerata here. Now, before we get into the podcast, I had a simple request, and that is if you like our podcast, go ahead and give us a rating of 5 stars. It will only take you 1 second and will really help to spread the strong word that we are talking about here every week on the Cross Continuum podcast. I know you'll enjoy the podcast, so let's get into it, and thank you very much. What is up, everybody? This is Dr. Joe Camerata. We are the Across Continuum podcast. It is 7 degrees below zero, and so I figured it would be a good time to podcast about a recent paper that I read about ACL reconstruction testing. Now, this paper came out just this year in the last 11 days or so, because it has 2024 on it. And I thought it was very interesting and kind of representative of physical therapy and its attachment to subjective and objective measures, or lack of attachment to objective measures. Now, this paper is a cool one, and I'm just gonna read the title here for you. Inline dynamometry provides reliable measurements of quadriceps strength in healthy and ACL reconstructed individuals and is a valid substitute for isometric electromechanical dynamometry following ACL reconstruction. I'll go ahead and link the open access paper to the description of the podcast so you can check it out. But let's kind of set the stage here. When I did work in the clinic, I found ACL rehab to be very daunting, intimidating, at least at first. Towards the end, it became a little bit easier, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But ACL reconstructions and rehab kind of had this air of fuzziness to them. Not only was there this kind of unknown as far as time to return to sport goes, but there's also this kind of issue that we don't really have a great idea of what great ACL rehab looks like in the absence of a few things at least. Now, if you've seen somebody who has an ACL reconstruction and are rehabbing them, I'm sure that you have brushed up on some of the things that I'll likely talk about and some of the things that I would brush up on when I was in the clinic. And there's probably a few things that you don't have access to that you really should have access to. And it's not really your fault that you don't have access to them. They're just hard to come by. And so when I say that we don't really have a great idea of what good ACL rehab looks like, I'm sure there's plenty of folks that are listening that are going to be like, well, my ACL rehab is great. I'm sure. It's just that when we look at different studies when it comes to ACL rehab, when we look at people that return to prior levels of sport or return to sport at all, it's just kind of doesn't paint a great picture. You know, there's a very low incidence of people returning to prior levels of sport, partially because they don't want to run the risk of injuring their ACL again, partially because they can't perform at that level. There's a high, not super high, but an unfortunately too high re-injury rate that occurs not only to the surgical leg but to the contralateral or the unaffected leg as well. What ends up happening is that people decondition in the time that it takes them to go through the very long and arduous ACL rehab, and the other side doesn't get enough love, and once they get back to the field, that unaffected side is not where it should be. But the testing just isn't very good either. The widespread testing, at least. You know, I can take a long time and poop on manual muscle testing, but I'm not going to. I think it's pretty well accepted that manual muscle testing does not do really a good job past a certain level of strength. I think if I recall correctly, that's 4 and 4+. You know, once we get past that, things become subjective, which is problematic. But there's also this kind of litany of other tests that involve hopping on one or both legs, cutting, pivoting, going in certain directions, and doing things like a single leg squat. Now, the problem with these tests is there's a couple things that really stick out to me. Number one is that they're repeated very regularly, and unfortunately, this is unavoidable with those sorts of tests and really any tests that we're going to repeat on a regular basis. What ends up happening is that people get better at doing the test, which ends up making the test not super useful, because what the test was originally trying to measure was readiness to return to the sport. And what it turns into is testing their ability, their being the patient's ability, to almost game the test. And so things like, you know, the triple hop test or a single hop test or a single leg squat people get better at performing those tests. You know, you expose somebody to a brand new or a novel movement, and they build skill in better completing that movement, that test next time, which kind of takes away from the ability for us to transfer the information from that test to a real world scenario where we would decide based on them passing or not passing this test if they are ready to return to sport. Not only that, but there's compensatory strategies that come into play with ACL, but with, you know, with other rehab and testing as well. What ends up happening is that people get good at using their hip or their ankle, right? And they kind of avoid or they downplay the need for using their knee. And again, the same thing sort of happens if we do a single leg squat. They move in other areas that don't really have anything to do with the knee. They complete the tests, and then we send them back to sport, and they get all screwed up again. And the thing that we really hope to have, which a lot of physical therapists unfortunately don't have access to, is objective instrumented testing. If you've been to a physical therapy clinic, which I'm hoping you work in one, you're probably very aware that they are under-equipmented. Some of them really are great and do a fantastic job, and they are outliers for sure. I've worked at a few that have had the machine that I'm going to talk about, but really this is few and far between. But the lack of using instrumented testing is really the problem here. And the pushback here is, well, my manual muscle testing can pick up on differences side to side, and that is true. But the problem is that they can't pick up on enough of what we need to know. Now, this paper talks about the critical importance of getting adequate quadricep strength back on the affected side. Now, what does adequate mean? Normally, we are either trying to compare it to previous or prior to surgery quadricep strength, or what usually ends up happening is we're comparing it to the unaffected side or the contralateral side. Now, the goal is to try and get them to be as equal as possible without the unaffected side getting any weaker. What we want to see is, I think if I recall correctly, a less than 10% difference in quad index side to side at 60 degrees of knee flexion. Now, we know that if that happens, that, you know, we can be pretty sure that we've done a good job with getting that quadricep strength back. But what ends up happening is that, one, people don't test, and two, if they do test with manual muscle testing, is extremely hard to pick up that small of a difference side to side. And then three, which is a problem that I'm not even going to address here, is that a lot of physical therapists are still under the impression that doing direct isolated quadricep strengthening in an open chain is a really bad idea. And this is problematic because there's not going to be a whole lot of things that are going to be better for strengthening quadricep extension or knee extension strength than doing isolated open chain knee extensions. Because again, if we circle back to that compensatory strategy thing, is people just don't use their quadriceps like they otherwise would. They'll lean to a different side, they'll use their hip, they'll use their ankle, what have you. And so there's no hiding from quadricep strength when it comes to doing knee extensions in an open chain. Again, not to say that we can't use other means of strengthening the quad, but a lot of physical therapists just are still afraid of the shear forces that go onto the ACL, especially right after surgery. One of the interesting things about ACL shear is that walking is one of the higher end shear forces that can happen on the ACL. And yet there are tons of people that would sooner have their patients walk or return to walking than do any sort of open chain extension exercises or any squatting activities. But I digress. So the goal here is to get the quad strong, and the goal is also to be able to measure if the quad is strong. We know that if we have a strong quadricep muscle, that there's a decreased risk of second ACL injury or re-injuring that side or the opposite side. Now, the thing that a lot of physical therapists don't have is that testing, but more specifically, electromechanical dynamometry, or an isokinetic machine, as they used to call it back in the day. Now, a funny anecdote is that I brought this up at my last job, and I worked at a clinic that had all the money in the world, which was the US military. And when I asked the clinic supervisor if we had an isokinetic machine or if we had access to an isokinetic machine, She looked at me like I had two heads because she said, "That's so old. That's old science, and we don't really need that anymore." It's like, all right, sweet, great. The reason that the IsoConnect machine is so cool is because it can pick up on very minute differences in quadricep strength, in hamstring strength, and side to side differences as far as the contralateral and ipsilateral, affected and unaffected legs go. And the IsoKinetic machines are really the gold standard when it comes to this sort of testing. But they are very expensive. And in fact, they're so expensive that if you go to one of the IsoKinetic machines' website, the HUMAC norm, you can't look up the price, which, is kind of telling as how expensive they are. They are bulky. I don't know if you've ever seen an IsoKinetic machine. I would go to HUMAC norm's website and see that it is the size of like a Fiat. It just takes up a lot of room. It's expensive, and it also is not very portable, right? You can't really take it anywhere with you. It kind of takes up half of a room, if you're lucky. So there's a reason that a lot of physical therapy clinics just don't have this, is because they're not doing the type of, well, they should be. They're not doing the type of ACL rehab that would really warrant spending that sort of money. They might not be specialized physical therapists for ACL. They might not be seeing high level athletes, whatever that means, or professional athletes might be a better way to put that. And so they figure, we'll just stick to the manual muscle testing, we'll stick to the triple hop test, and we'll get these people back and it'll be just fine. And for the most part, it is just fine for a lot of people, because they end up not returning to sport, or they end up returning to sport and things are fine. Like I said, it's a high percentage of re-injury, but it's not, catastrophic. So we have a few problems, right? We have a physical therapy population that doesn't want to do quadricep strengthening, or at least direct quadricep strengthening. We don't have the right tests, we don't have the right machinery, and we don't have very good research or data on what it is that makes a good ACL rehab plan, other than, getting back a certain amount of quadricep strength compared to the other side, and making sure that that strength can be produced very quickly. So what this paper talks about, and again, it's the inline dynamometry provides reliable measurements of quadricep strength in healthy and ACL-constructed individuals, and is a valid substitute for isometric electromechanical dynamometry following ACL reconstruction. The most important thing that this establishes is that smaller units work pretty well. And when I talk about smaller units, they talk about something called the K-force link, which is about the size of a Game Boy, if you are old enough to have one of those, or something that can fit in your hand, maybe a potato. And it's comparatively cheap. Now, again, I was not able to find the price of a HUMAC norm. I'm assuming it's in the five figures, but the K-force link is listed on their website as $866, which I was still kind of impressed at how expensive that is. And that is prohibitively expensive for a lot of individual physical therapists who might be staff physical therapists who don't own or run a clinic. So what they ended up doing was they tested the IsoKinetic machine and the inline dynamometer side to side, and they found that they actually produced similar results, and that the inline dynamometer was a reliable and valid measure for, healthy and ACL reconstructed individuals. Now I'm going to read verbatim here. The most important findings from the current study are inline dynamometry performed at 60 degrees of knee flexion provides reliable measurements of quadricep strength in healthy and ACL reconstructed individuals. Now, the one that I have used before, and the one that I own or owned before I sent it to my friend Cody Mizoraka, was called a Tyndek. Now, one of the authors of this paper, Scott Morrison, is somebody who popularized the use of the Tyndek for this very purpose, which is taking objective measures. And it is substantially more affordable than a K-force link. The Tyndek comes in at $160 US. And the new one that they just came out with, which has a greater capacity to measure force, which is like 300 kilograms, is about $300, $220 maybe. Anyway, substantially more affordable than the K-force link, which is substantially more affordable than the HUMAC norm. And so it's good news that both of these types of measurement devices not only provide reliable measures in this population that we really need it in, but they are very much so affordable and can really take us as a physical therapy and you as a physical therapist forward in the ACL rehab scenario. Now, if we think about something like the Tin Deck, again, it's small enough to fit inside of your pocket. And it comes with a Bluetooth app that worked fantastically, by the way. And it even was made, they don't make them like this anymore, but the one that I had before was made of wood. And well, the outside was balsa wood, at least, and then the inside had the force gauge and the strain gauge inside. And there were two little eyelets that you could connect carabiners to and then hook your person, your patient up to it and measure. And what ended up happening was that this broke down the door for measuring quad strength. And why that is so important is because it really could change the way that you did rehab on a follow-up basis. So at least for the military, when I worked there, we would see our patients about every 4 weeks or so. They would go out, they would be sent to the technicians or the PTAs, and then they would come back every 4 weeks after having done our plan of care. And what we could do is we could reference the measures that we used last month, test again, and then we could see if we needed to update our plan of care. And it was really nice because I didn't have to rely on, you know, any return to sport testing at that time. I didn't have to take any guesswork. I didn't have to rely on manual muscle testing. And I didn't have to try and find an isokinetic machine wherever it was, wherever I was. Now, the problem is that this doesn't solve crappy ACL rehab, but it is a huge part of the puzzle. The reason that it doesn't solve cruddy ACL rehab is that it doesn't really give us a good idea of what to do. It just gives us a great measure to use to change our plans. You know, if you still are uncertain of writing a progressive program, or if you don't have access to, you know, a knee extension machine, or if you just don't have access to anything, your ACL rehab is still going to be limited because we can't do the things that need to be done. If you don't have the ability to spend 12, 14, 16, 18 months with a patient because insurance dictates or your clinic dictates or what have you, then we're kind of just screwed. And so while this provides affordably a really great way to draw a line in the sand and update where that line is, which with each follow-up or with each week or month that goes by, that's only one piece of the puzzle. But I will say it is a pretty big piece, that it is nice to see actual research and evidence here that this is a very useful and something that can replace this really prohibitively cost sized and really all around not very accessible machine to take these measurements. Not only that, the measurement time was also, I think, almost half the time that it took using one of those big bulky machines anyway. Now, what do we do with this information? Basically, I'm going to link the website for the Tin Deck. I'll also link the website for the K-Force link. But again, it's you know, six times as expensive as the Tin Deck. And from my understanding, they do similar things. I'm going to link the Tin Deck down in the description, and I really think that you should consider picking one up. You will need to get something like an ankle cuff, like you would see at the gym. You will need to pick up a couple carabiners. You'll need to pick up a chain to connect or to anchor the Tin Deck to something. But it really, again, is a great start in the direction of where we need to go as far as physical therapists for ACL rehab. Now, I don't want to tell anybody that they're not really built for, or they're not set up for seeing a patient who needs ACL rehabilitation, because I'm not in that position and I don't know what you know or what you have access to, but I will feel much more confident in physical therapists seeing patients who have had ACL reconstructions if they have these inline dynamometers or ways to measure quadricep strength. Now, if you have any questions about ACL testing or about the inline dynamometry or about this sort of general putting together a strength and conditioning program, please email me, hit me up on Instagram, hit me up on Facebook, and I appreciate it. And I hope everybody out there is staying warm.